This is the Lord's Day, the last such of this year. And we're gathered together to worship our gracious God. Hear this call to worship. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Let us bring our worship to our great God by singing together hymn number 13. O worship the King, all glorious above. Hymn number 13. Give you the worship of which you are worthy. We pray that the devotion of our hearts would match the worth that you are and that we ought to be giving you today. We pray for grace from your Spirit to know that you are God, Creator, Redeemer, and that we have sung, Maker, Defender, Friend. All this you are to us in Jesus. And so we would pray for hearts to worship and adore, to truly give ourselves to you again, anew and afresh this morning, that Christ might be glorified in our lives, that you would have your will with us, that you would be greatly glorified in this world through your people. So do great things for your great glory this hour, we pray, and then through this week and throughout our lives. And we thank you as we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 2. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 2. We just sang of our great God being our King. He's King of everything. He's created all things. Everything belongs to Him. God is King. Jesus is King. And He was born King. Nobody else was born a King, but Jesus was. And He still is King. And He was worshipped as such. And we worship Him today as our King. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Hear the word of God. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. We should note who they worshipped and who they did not worship. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We're thankful today that we can give our gifts to Jesus as well. May God bless his word to us. We'll sing hymn number 154. 154. As with gladness, men of old, we too bring our gifts, our worship, our adoration to Jesus.
pray.
Gracious Father, as we bow before you on this Lord's Day, we thank you for those who so many centuries ago recognized in that babe, that young child, the King of the ages, the King of Israel, the King of this world. And we thank you that by your grace, we too have recognized him to be our King. Every one of us who has come to him for salvation has also come with consecration and surrender of all that we are and all that we have to him. Because he is Lord, he is King. There are times in our lives when we seek to take away that surrender and redo and rescind our vows to him. Sometimes we find ourselves in the grip of rebellion against him, even though we are believers. We pray that this morning, anyone who needs to renew his or her vows to Jesus, or rededicate his or her life to him, may that take place here. Once we've given ourselves to you, we are yours forever. Just help us to live that way and to be today for Jesus all that you would have us to be, and to do for Jesus all that you would have us to do. We need such surrendered hearts that you can only bring about by your Holy Spirit. We thank you that you've gathered us here today, and we are here as your people then. Blood bought, ransomed, redeemed by Jesus. And we pray for the knowledge of his presence with us. We pray for a desire then to do his will, know his ways, and in this world, own him and be loyal to him and speak of him and point others to him. And we pray that even during the days that lie ahead, you might give us many opportunities to do just that. So we think of those in our families who are not yet believers, those of our neighbors and friends. We pray that you might make use of us. How blessed it would be if every one of us in this coming year could bring someone to Jesus. Not only would our church double in its size, but heaven would rejoice at each new believer, and the kingdom of heaven in the future would have so many more attendants and residents. We pray, gracious God, that in these days that lie ahead and in this new year to come, you might make us busy then doing the work of Christ and telling the gospel, and those in our families and among our friends and neighbors who are not yet saved, would you make it our greatest desire and chief occupation this year to bring many to this King, this Savior. May there be many who would follow us to Jesus. We pray that those who've gathered here this morning might not only know the gracious presence of our Savior, but also his love and care and mercy and grace, because there are burdens. We pray that they would be lifted. There are sorrows. We pray that they would be comforted. There are perplexities. We pray that you might give wisdom. And may our hearts and our minds and our wills be so surrendered to our Lord Jesus Christ that whatever it is that troubles us in this life, may we have his comfort this day as we give ourselves anew and afresh to him. Grant good things and great things for your great glory, we do pray. And what we ask for ourselves, we ask for your people everywhere, especially in this nation, We pray that there would be a revival among your people, among your churches, such that the gospel of Jesus Christ will go forth in this nation with renewed power, bringing many to this King in grateful surrender, many to this Savior in full submission and repentance of sin, to the only one who is able to save, our Lord Jesus Christ. So for this we will thank you, even as we pray together in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn, O Worship the King, Matthew chapter 2, Jesus born the King, and hymn number 132, Wondrous King, all glorious, that's Jesus. So we sing together to our King, 132.
Thank you.
Morning, we'll turn together in the Word of God to the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 8. 2 Corinthians, chapter 8. Chapter 8, reading verses 1 through 9. Hear the word of God. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints, and not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So we urged Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and all diligence and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. May God bless his word to us this morning and speak to us. And to that end, let us pray. Gracious Father, as always, we need to hear from heaven, and we need to know that you are speaking to us from your word, by your spirit, through your son. We pray that the message that you would have for us today would be received by us, that we would know more of your will and your ways, that we would be ready to give ourselves anew and afresh to our Lord Jesus Christ. And for this we will thank you as we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes we wonder how we can make our lives useful in this world. Sometimes we wonder about purpose. What is my purpose here? What am I doing here? And how can my life count for eternity? And sometimes we struggle over this question. We wonder, what gifts has God given me? What abilities? What opportunities? What can I do for Jesus? What purpose do I serve in this world after all? Yet I think one answer to that question at least is to be found in this passage. Because what these two chapters are all about is simply the subject of giving. And what I want to submit to you this morning is this, that when we give ourselves to Jesus, and after we've given ourselves to him, all that we are and all that we possess, and we give ourselves then to others, that's our purpose. And that's our usefulness. Giving itself is that which makes our lives useful. Giving to Jesus, giving to others is the great purpose that each of us has in this world. And it is then so very simple, because we can all give. We can all give ourselves as well as the things we possess. And as I say this section of scripture, these two chapters, are all about giving. The apostle here, as we actually saw some weeks ago, because we looked at part of this section, but the apostle is seeking to get the Corinthians, the Christians who lived in Corinth, to give a gift of money to poor saints who are living in Jerusalem. The reason he was doing this is because the Corinthians had promised such a gift about a year before, but had not been forthcoming. There were those poor Christians in Jerusalem suffering over really hard times. And here were these Corinthians who had the means to help, but it was not forthcoming. How does he begin his appeal to them? By giving them an example of other Christians who gave to those poor saints in Jerusalem. In fact, he says there in verse 7 that he is indeed, or verse 8, he is indeed making them, the Christians in Macedonia, an example to the Christians in Corinth. He says in verse 8, I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. Testing your love by the diligence of others. And yes, sometimes it is right for us to compare ourselves to other Christians. Others who are more diligent. Others who are more faithful. Others who are more willing to give of themselves and all that they possess. Other Christians who are more spiritually minded. Other Christians who are truly and obviously living for Jesus. And sometimes we compare ourselves to them. And we find that we fall so far short. And this is what the apostle is doing to these Corinthian Christians. He says, look at the Macedonians. They were poor. And yet out of their poverty, they got together this very large gift for the poor saints in Jerusalem. And it says, in a great trial of affliction, verse 2, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. And he's saying here, in a great affliction, these were afflicted people. They had troubles of their own. And yet their joy and their poverty together equal liberality. Joy plus poverty equals liberality. And the apostle is saying to these Corinthian Christians, what those Macedonians did, you can do. In fact, a year ago you promised to give a gift to the poor saints in Jerusalem. The Macedonians have done it already, and they're poor themselves. What about you? He says, I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. And so he uses then these others, these Macedonian Christians, as an example to the Corinthians about giving. And of course, that's going to lead to the greatest example of giving in verse 9. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. And so there are examples of those who gave, poor Christians giving to other poor Christians, but Jesus Christ himself giving of himself to us, he who was rich in heavenly glory, divesting himself of all his riches and becoming poor, and for 33 years living in poverty and obscurity, and then the last 3 years of his life traveling by foot up and down that region of the world to heal, to teach, and then to die on a cross for our sins. He reached the depth of poverty, Jesus did. Abandoned even by God himself. My God, why have you forsaken me? How poor is that? Abandoned by God on the cross. Why? So that you and I would never have to be forsaken of God. Jesus Christ, in the depth of his poverty, with our sins upon him, was forsaken by God and suffered hell in our place. But of course, he rose from the dead having paid our sin debt, and now lives in heavenly glory to save all who come to God by him. So there are the examples. But what I want to do this morning is to look with you at one particular verse in this passage, and it's verse 5. Verse 5 says this, "And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God." They first gave themselves to the Lord and to us. I chiefly want to look at this phrase with you, which says, they first gave themselves to the Lord. What I'm saying to you this morning is this: we all need to give ourselves to the Lord. You will note that these were believers. And there's a sense in which when we first come to faith in Jesus Christ, we give ourselves to him. We turn over all that we are and all that we have to Jesus. We say to him, "I am a sinner. I've broken God's laws. I deserve hell. But you, Lord Jesus Christ, have given yourself for me. You've died on the cross for my sins. I want you to save me. I want you to give me a pardon for all my sin and make me a child of God." That's the way we begin the Christian life, by surrendering all to Jesus. But that's the way we continue the Christian life, because there are times as Christians when we need to renew our vows and we need to rededicate ourselves and we need to give ourselves to Jesus anew and afresh. That's why these believers, Christians already, were giving themselves to the Lord, which is what you and I need continually to do. When we wake up in the morning, we give ourselves anew and afresh to him, don't we? When we go throughout our day, we are continually those renewing of our vows and our rededications of ourselves to him. Sometimes we find ourselves falling away and we find ourselves falling into temptation, and we have to renew everything, all our vows, all our dedication to Jesus. And there are particular points in our lives when this can be a real crisis experience. There are times in our lives when we realize, I've been living for self, and I've had idols in my life, and I haven't been living for Jesus at all. And so, in a moment of crisis, we tear the idols down from our hearts. And we renew ourselves to love and serve Jesus Christ, who died for us and rose again. So here were these Macedonian believers giving themselves to Jesus. And I want you to see three things about such self-giving to Jesus. Number one, it is our priority. Again, verse 5. Not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord. Notice the word first. That word first signifies priority. Before they gave a gift, before they gave their money, they gave themselves. What I'm saying is this: giving ourselves is the most important gift. In fact, if you haven't given yourself to Jesus, he doesn't want your money. He doesn't want your time. He doesn't want your things. He wants you. Nothing else matters if he doesn't have you. And there are people who might give very much money to Jesus. There might be people who give much time in service. And there are some Christians who make the mistake of thinking that the money that they give, or the time that they spend, or the service that they render is sufficient to please the Lord Jesus. But they're substitutes for themselves. the love and devotion isn't his. Their thoughts aren't captive to Christ. Their personalities, everything about themselves, all that they are, as well as what they possess, have not been given to Jesus. They haven't come to Jesus to say, I am yours, all that I am, as well as all that I have. Do with me as you please. These Macedonians gave themselves first to the Lord, and then they gave themselves to the apostles and to the poor Christians in Jerusalem. So that's the priority. So I ask you this morning, have you given yourself to Jesus? And if you have, do you need to renew that dedication, perhaps, and give yourself anew and afresh to Jesus? There's the priority of giving ourselves to him. But then there's also the propriety of it. The priority means before everything else, we give ourselves to Jesus. But there's propriety in that. In other words, it's the proper thing to do. Why is it proper that you and I should give ourselves to Jesus? To say, I'm yours to do with as you please. I'm yours to do as you command. I'm yours. My heart is yours to love you before everything else. And my mind to think your thoughts and my will to do your pleasure. Why is it proper for us to make such a gift of ourselves to Jesus? Well, there are at least two reasons. Number one, he gave himself to us. And again, that's verse 9, isn't it? You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Jesus gave himself all that he is and all that he had laid upon the altar. He sacrificed himself on that cross. He not only died there, but he suffered hell there. He gave himself to God, his Father, and then to us, that he might have us, that he might redeem us from our sins. If Jesus gave himself to us, then surely we should give ourselves to him. And let me say again that before our money and before our time and before our service, Jesus himself wants us. Because Jesus gave himself, we give ourselves to him. So that's the first reason it's proper to do so. But another reason has to do with ownership. Whose are we anyway? You see, once you've come to Jesus by faith for him to save you, you come to understand that you're his because he bought you. Not simply because you freely give yourself to him, but because he paid to have you. That's what redemption means. Jesus Christ paid to have you. He paid with his sufferings. He paid by that incarnation, which was a condescension of himself and great humility to come from heaven to earth. He paid for your sin debt as he was there on the cross, suffering the punishment for your sins that you deserve. But that was payment for you. He bought you. And that's why in the first letter to the Corinthians, the apostle says this, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Bought with a price. And for every one of you this morning to belong to God, there was a great price paid. And as I always like to say, it wasn't merely a payment for a mass of people that Jesus didn't know. Jesus was paying the price for you as individuals. There you were, slaves of Satan, slaves of sin. Jesus knew you that way. Yet there he was, paying to have you, paying your sin debt, buying you by his blood, that you might belong to him forever. That's the greatest reason why we should give ourselves to Jesus. There's the priority of giving of ourselves before anything else, before our money and our time and our service, we give ourselves. But the propriety of it is, he gave himself for me. And I, therefore, belong to him. So because you're blood bought, you need to give yourself to Jesus and renew the dedication of yourself to him. Priority, the propriety, but what is the produce of all of this? What are the results, the produce? What is produced then by such self-giving? Well, look again at verse 5 where it says, not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us. The word then doesn't appear in the original Greek. Simply, they gave themselves to the Lord and to us. In other words, when you give yourself to Jesus, everything else falls into place. And they gave themselves not only to the Lord, but to others. They gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Because once you've given yourself to Jesus, it's very easy then for you to give yourself to others. And there again is where usefulness comes in and purpose comes in. We give ourselves to Jesus and then to others. Whatever others may need of us, Jesus in Matthew 25 spoke about visiting the sick and the prisoners. And we read in other places of Scripture, we help the weary and those who are discouraged. And we have something of ourselves to give to those who are in need. And it's not always money. Sometimes a listening ear or a sympathetic heart. And often it's prayer. We give ourselves to the Lord and to others. And in doing so, we've got purpose and we've got usefulness in this life. Look at the great good that was accomplished by this self-giving. They got together a monetary gift to relieve the poor in Jerusalem. In the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. Notice the motivations with which they gave that gift. It says in verse 3, I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. There was liberality, there was willingness, there was desire. All these blessed attitudes of love, all flowing from the self-giving to Jesus. What else by way of produce? Well, we know that Jesus Christ is pleased by such giving. He who gave himself for us will certainly be pleased when we give ourselves to him. And that's why back there in Matthew 25, when the king comes again and all the nations are gathered before him, those who gave to others in the name of Jesus are rewarded by Jesus because he's pleased with such sacrifices. He's pleased when we give ourselves to him and give ourselves to others. And of course, Christ is honored by such giving, because, verse 9, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. When we give ourselves to Jesus and to others, Christ is honored. because the great motivation for our giving is Jesus himself. And the great example of our giving is Jesus himself. And when we give ourselves to him and to others, he is honored. And the world will know the reason for our devotion. It's Jesus. And so may God give us such hearts today to renew our vows, to rededicate ourselves, to give ourselves willingly, freely to Jesus. Say to him, all that I am, all that I have, my heart, my mind, my will, everything about me, I give to you. And you're worthy that I should. And then to others, as the need may be, may Christ be glorified in a congregation of self-givers to Jesus, now and always. Let us pray. So, Father, we're thankful this morning for this great example of our Lord Jesus Christ, how we want to be like him, giving of ourselves first to him, but also to others in his name. We know that it's not so much a matter of procedure or logistics or method, but it's simply a matter of the heart first and foremost. And if we've given our hearts totally to Jesus, everything else falls into place. Help us then, by virtue of his sacrifice and his self-giving, may we give ourselves. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sing together hymn number 362. 362. This hymn is all about giving ourselves to Jesus because he first gave himself to us. And the context is celebration of the Lord's table. Thou didst give thyself for me, now I give myself to thee. 362. And after the singing of this hymn and the benediction, we'll have a short break and gather again for the Lord's table. 362. Thank you. Jesus Christ, gracious Savior, to be and to do at your bidding, body, heart, mind, will, all that we are, all that we have, may it be yours this day, because you are worthy. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.